Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
Thank you for the privilege of being here. I want to say thank you to your pastors, Pastor Matt and Michaela. Why don't you stand up, give them a big old clap. Come on, give them a big old clap. Now, why do you do that? Because I'm supposed to, number one. And I've been on stages for 20 years. That's what I'm supposed to do. But I also believe God brings people along your path that are heroes. Heroes decide your energy, your endurance, and your experience. And I pay attention when God brings people along your path that aren't getting results, that are getting results that you're not getting. And they're clues that you can have something about that in your own future. So I'm grateful for our pastors that help us and grow us. And Pastor Jurgen, I heard, kicked major butt this morning. What a legend. So if you're watching from the South Campus, thank you very much. I do want to say my best friend, but she's my lover. Man, she's my lover. I met her when she was dying of a heart condition. She stood in front of me. We had never talked before, and as I looked at her, I looked to the right, and I saw a picture of Jesus in an operating room, and I said, you need to go have a surgery, and Jesus will save your life. She faced, they took her heart out of her chest for 4 hours. She signed her life away, and God revived her and gave her a heart, and many years later, we met again, and now I'm married, and I can hear that heartbeat every single night. My wife! Dang it, you look sexy. Stand up! Katrina. I do want to give props real quick, commercial before I start. Don't use this against my time, please. I want to give mad props to Ruben. Ruben's always in the cheap seat with the cool mohawk up there, making great stuff happen with that whole team. Give the team of all the people that have worked hard to make tonight come to pass. Give honor where it's due. And my friend Eric Rafferty, wherever he is in the building, Eric's a big deal. I don't know if you're a big deal even on social media, Eric. Listen, they're all even cheering for you. I've known Eric for many years, and one of the most phenomenal human beings I know. He can speak, he can play, but more than that, he's just an amazing God man, and I appreciate him. I have friends from Los Angeles. I won't go name them all here tonight, but I want to say thank you for making the trip. And I have my Bible open. I brought the biggest Bible I could. And that way, if I do anything crazy, you could say at least he was super religious. And I was asked by Tony Robbins at dinner. He goes, what do you use to get the results that you use? And I go, I use the Bible. And he gave me the Benji the dog look. And he goes, are you for real? I go, yeah, because I want to build my life on something that's timeless, not on something that's trendy. As a friend of mine says, good ideas can come to pass, but God ideas have to come to pass. And a God-shaped life is a flourishing tree. I've spoken now for a little over 20 years all around the world, from everywhere. I started out as a professional baseball player, just give you a quick little bio background. And while I was speaking, I ran across a 76-year-old woman on an airplane. I was listening to Guns N' Roses with a big dip of Copenhagen in my lip, playing for the Boston Red Sox, and she said, can I talk to you for a minute? And it's in her Texas accent. I said, yeah, absolutely. She goes, you know, you're going to deliver millions of people. They're in the delivery room. You're going to do great things and touch people. And I thought, man, you got the wrong guy. Maybe you're looking for somebody in 17B, 17A. She goes, no, I got the right guy. And for 5.5 hours on the way to Fort Myers, Florida, she prophesied me blind. She made me blind to everything I thought my life was about and gave me sight to a world that did not exist, but the more that she spoke, it had to exist. How many people are here on a Sunday night because you know there's a world that doesn't exist, but it has to exist? Am I talking to the right people so far? So I made a radical decision. Little action gets you little results. Radical decisions get you radical results. And they're usually highly unpopular. I walked away and fired my agent after God. I really felt confirmed. Walked away. I found out how many real friends I really had. Because when you're not a baseball player and people can play like John Heinrichs, one of our great pastors, once they can't ride your coattails or get money from you or whatever else off you, they find that, oh my gosh, I don't really have much use for you. And in their mind, I wasn't somebody big anymore because I didn't play a sport or they didn't have something to write on. But I decided to go and work in a church for $5 an hour as a custodian. People said, did you take too many drugs? Did you smoke too much bud? A lot of questions circulated around that. My family's like, you okay? We can get you some medication. You can get right back on the field. But I knew I had a word from God. Sometimes all you need is one word, and one word from God's enough. I didn't know how it was going to happen. I tried to go teach in the school, but they said, or the church, and they said, no, you can't teach in the church. You'll cuss too much. We don't want to subject you to the kids. So in the middle of the night, since I was a janitor, I had keys to 2,000 empty seats. And I'd get up and speak, and it was just me, the angels, the carpet, the chandeliers. And I'm sure the angels were like, yo, you okay? But that's where we started. And then I went to work in the kids department. They finally gave me the fifth graders, or the six-year-olds. And when they did, they told me to teach them about, you know, Jonah the whale. I think I taught them about Free Willy and Flipper a little bit more. I did the best. You know, you did the best you can. Prosper where you're planted. And I was doing something small, but something significant with what God said in the dark. And what God sees in the dark, he rewards in the light. I saw a lot of other people getting breakthroughs, but I felt like I was hidden. But what I did was I made it a sanctuary and a library. I brainwashed myself on miracles. Still to this day, I study miracles every single day in the Bible because the Bible says that without miracles in your mentality, people live fruitless lives and they live lives of vanity. Your God only thinks in terms of miracles. You don't want miracles, you don't need the God of the Bible. He is miraculous. He can't help himself. Miracles tonight will get you out of things, but more than that, they're going to get you into new things. They can free you in a moment, but they can forward you too. And then I was minding my own business, walking down the street with a friend of mine who's a paramedic, and there's about four or five cars drove up alongside with these big black windows and police escorts. And I was a little bit nervous. Did the IRS come looking for me? What was happening? And they rolled down a window, and this gentleman who's a world leader rolls down his window and goes, who are you? I go, who are you? I take a couple steps back, you know what I'm saying, just in case I need to run or something, you know? I came from Los Angeles. Come on, somebody. I wasn't by Newport Beach. Come on, I was by Los Angeles. I didn't have no weapons on me, you know? And they go, I was driving by, and this audible voice from Jesus told me I'm supposed to have dinner with you. Do you have anything going on in your life right now that's really pressing? I go, not too much. I just got to scrub the toilet tomorrow. Come on, somebody. As a result, I went and had dinner with him, and then about three to four weeks later, I was doing the peace process between Benjamin Netanyahu and King Hussein in 1997 of Israel and Jordan, and my life forever changed. One moment can change your life. I beg you, you're going to give me 30 minutes tonight, and we're going to fly. You ready to go? Come on. Like John Legend says, I'm ready to go right now. Come on. I've been around Johnny. Come on. All it takes is a moment to change your life. A moment comes from the word an atom and an atomic. Atom means the smallest particle of an element. Tough to see, tough to understand, kind of like one day out of your whole life. But atomic is explosive, dynamic, explosion. How do we take something so small and we make it massive with rapid energy and engagement? Tonight you confuse us and it could be a defining moment in the course of your life. Opportunity tonight is built on your accessibility. You got to be a little bit accessible. If all you do is listen to me tonight, you're going to cheat yourself. You'll retain only 8% in 4 weeks. That's cheating yourself. Don't do it. You're here. Come on. You bought the ticket. You're here. Go all out tonight. If you take notes, you'll retain 38 to 42%. But if you play all out, energy, passion, like I know you guys are known for, you will retain 92%. Come on, somebody. That is worth it. Here we go. John chapter 5. If you have a Bible, it's on the right-hand side. And I'm going to preach tonight. I was a motivator this morning at the black church, and now I'm going to be, come on, at the energy church. Here we go. I was. It was awesome. I was like the token white one. It was awesome. John chapter 5, it's on the right-hand side of the Bible, verse 1. It says, after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, there is in Jerusalem a sheep gate, a pool. This pool's called Bethesda. Someone say Bethesda. What does that mean? It means house of grace, or the place where grace operates from. Having five porches, in these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind people, lame people, paralyzed. They're all waiting for the stirring of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time, a certain moment. Someone say a moment. Woo, power's going to meet potential here tonight. Watch this. He came in a certain moment into a pool and stirred up those waters. Whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease they had. Now, there was a certain dude there who had been lying there for 38 years. Someone say a long time. Jesus knew he'd been in that condition a long time, but he says, do you want to get well? The sick man goes, man, you know, I have no man to put me in that pool when the water's all stirred up. And plus, when I'm trying to get there, someone gets there ahead of me. I missed opportunities. Jesus said to him, rise, take up your bed, and walk. In other words, stand up and make a move. Verse 9, immediately the man was made well and took up his bed and walked. Verse 1 says, there was a feast of the Jews. A feast means a time of celebration and elation. I think the celebration is to be the most, is to be your life. Jesus showed up at the celebration of life, and I believe so should you. Most people aren't celebrating their life because they're exhausted. They're exhausted by regret. Come on. That they believe in their minds, their past equals their future, that their biography equals their destiny. You might be a product of your past, but I got great news. You ain't a prisoner of it. Come on, somebody. We talked about that powerful minute ago, the power of the blood. Come on, somebody. There's enough power in that blood that you can sign the death certificate of your then so you can live in the power of your now. Other people, regret. Regret, resentment, routine. Has people missing the celebration of life? For a minute, I want to help you tap in. How do I really celebrate life? To celebrate means to make an event of how you show up. Showing up with energy, showing up with passion. You look at most people, their heads are down. Come on. How you doing? I'm tired. How's life? Tired. Man, I got so much. How you doing? I'm tired. And then, by the way, my wife and I will sometimes go to restaurants and we'll just smile for like 5 minutes straight. Babe, let's just throw everybody off. People are like, you need some medication? It's amazing. Most people don't celebrate life. Life does something with them. They live by how they feel rather than how they decide. You can feel horny. Don't mean like you have to go there. You can feel sick. Don't mean you got to be a sick person. Come on, somebody. You can feel broke. That doesn't mean you're a broke person. You ain't what you feel. You're what you decide. If you're ever going to enjoy your life, you got to make a decision. I might mean like just dabble with something or we're going to try it. No, no, no. Reality's formed around what you commit to, not what you're interested in. Most people don't make decisions. They say, I'm going to dabble with this. I'm going to flirt with that. I'm going to flirt with this. But only watch. You only master or only really build a reality what you commit to. That's a real decision. The Bible says decide. Choose life. Choose death. Paul in Acts chapter 20 said, listen, everywhere I know, I go, I got chains awaiting me. People are going to throw me in jail. They're going to beat me to stab me. But none of this stuff moves me. I'm going to finish my course, and I'm going to do it with joy. In other words, I'm not going to let what I go through take the joy out of me because my joy is my strength. Somebody in this place, if you want to see life bounce back, it's going to take a choice and a decision within, not circumstances without, where you decide, I'm going to enjoy life no matter what comes at me. Even if I've met a mess of my life, I can choose to enjoy my life. Jesus said in John chapter 16, let no man take your joy. Don't let no devil, debt steal your joy. Don't let depression steal your joy. Joyful people are more creative. by 96%. How else do I enjoy my life? Be full of gratitude. You say, well, that's easy. I read a scripture. I was speaking over at Ohio University. I came across a scripture watching the Oprah Winfrey shows back in the day. I was sitting on my bed in the hotel, and I came across Psalm 67, 5 through 7. It says, as they gave thanks and praise, then God released the increase. And I thought about it. I said, I'm usually not enjoying my life with God, my relationship with God. It's driven more, even my prayer life, more by anxiety than it is by anticipation, because I'm asking him constantly, almost like he won't come through. What if I shifted things to be able to enjoy him and appreciate him more, rather than be bothered that he didn't come through as quick as I needed him to come through? Most people don't enjoy God. They tolerate him. He's a to-do list. What if I gave you a challenge right off the bat? For the next 7 days, don't ask God for one thing. Well, brother, the Bible says, ask and you shall receive. Didn't he say he's rich to those who call upon him, ask in his name, and you will receive that your joy might be full? That's Texas right there. Come on, right? What if you thank God for who he is? Who is he? He's Jehovah Rapha, a healer. He's Jehovah Jireh, a provider. He's your shepherd that can guide you back to your yellow brick road. Come on, somebody. No matter your lion, your tiger, or your bear. He's El Shaddai. He's more than enough. He can make a way for you. What if you thank him for what he's already done in your life? Wow. Then begin to thank him for what you're anticipating him to do. What I found was every miracle in the Bible that Jesus did, he never asked God for one thing. And he's the model for all that go after the impossible. All he did was thank the Father, then act. Could there be a massive shift in what you perceive when you get your eyes off of your own need and put it on his abundance? Watch me roll. Hey, don't tell me you don't got something to praise God about. 1 million people died in the last 6 days. If you got a roof over your head tonight, you're in the top 76% of the people in the whole entire world. Anybody got 15 American dollars to your name? You're in the top 12% of the people of the whole entire world. Don't tell me for a minute you don't got something to give God thanks and praise for tonight. Hey, come on, Carlsbad. He inhabits the praise of his people. Come on. Miss Universe was in a coma. They called me in there. Her son's a UFC fighter. They said, listen, mom's gone. She's just a shell. The doctors were in there. They go, what are you going to do? You're going to pray the big prayer of faith? I'm looking at her body, and I looked at her pictures on her wall where she's immaculate. She's gorgeous. She had, you know, all this beauty about her, and now she's sitting there as a shell. I didn't know what to do, but I learned something from a mentor of mine. He said, when things look so crazy, begin to thank him and look up. Don't look down at what's around. Look up and thanks. That's what Jesus did with Lazarus. That's what Jesus did with 5 loaves and 2 bread. I began to say, thank you, Father. Thank you that you're big enough. Thank you, God, that you care, that you're the author and the finisher. She doesn't have to finish this way. Thank you, God, for grace. Thank you, Lord, for your love. The doctors were watching me. All of a sudden, that woman goes, she pulled my arm straight down. She came completely out of her coma at the Mission Viejo Hospital. Walked out of there 3 days later. It wasn't my prayer. It was God's bigness. Create an atmosphere where he likes to hang. Come on, when somebody praises my little girl, she starts performing, hey. She starts dancing. Come on, she's got energy. When somebody praises you, oh my gosh, yeah, oh my gosh, the conversation changes. What do you think happens when you begin to magnify him? He goes, uh-oh, somebody recognizes how big I am. All I'm saying. How do you enjoy your life? You stay in relationships like this. There's this reason why scripture says don't forsake assembling together. Why? Because there's power in numbers. Joint efforts yield better results. You don't want to go put your big old ego dreams about a bunch of chickens. Come on, somebody. They flap, but they don't fly. When you have great relationships based upon purpose and upon passion, something happens. You multiply your resources. People bounce back from setbacks, from disappointments, from depression. Your immune system gets stronger. I read of a story of a gentleman that he wanted to run the New York Marathon, but he couldn't because he's blind. So he said, I got to find somebody else to help me run this marathon because I'm committed to it. I feel like it's part of my destiny to run this marathon. So he goes, I didn't go get somebody that had it all together. I found somebody else out with a disability, but we weren't going to base while we ran based on our disabilities. We were going to base it upon our destination. So he found a guy that was deaf, and they put a rubber band between them. And when one guy wanted to communicate, the blind guy wanted to communicate to the deaf guy, he pulled on the rubber band. The other guy that was deaf, when he wanted to communicate to the blind guy, he pulled him on the rubber band. They defeated people that could see and people that could hear, all because they ran together. Don't ditch what God might use to bless. Always remember, God's the source of your increase, but he uses man to get it to you. He might even use people you don't like. Be careful how you treat people. Oh, should I stay there just for 1 second? I got 24 minutes. He might pick somebody you think's a little off. He might choose somebody that might be a little weak. Come on, somebody. Be careful how you treat the Holy Spirit inside of somebody. There's a vault inside of them. How do you know? I was talking to my friend Miles Monroe. He was ambassador of the Bahamas before he passed. And I said, Miles, why do people need an eternal life? Why do people need eternal life? He says, because it will take an eternity for God to get out of you everything he put inside you. Never treat people as if they just have a little something to their life. They got miracles. They got power. They got promise. They got potential. They got gift. They got dreams. They got stuff. Hey, up in here. Woo, you ready? You keep going? Can we keep going? So here's the deal. Jesus rolls up. This place had promise. House of grace, house of favor. Favor gets people out of things into new things. My friend Kate McVeigh, born mentally handicapped. They used to call her the R word. I don't like using that word. They said that about her. Her grandmother took her to a meeting just like this when she was 14, 15 years of age. Loved to play basketball, but they never let her play on the teams because she was in the slow class and was on the slow bus. The taunts from the kids were horrible. The words they would speak of her were heart-wrenching, she said. She was telling me this at a conference. And I go, well, what happened? She says, I was in an environment where there's about 300-400 people, and the speaker said, the favor of God can get you out of things. She goes, I never heard about this. She said, the favor of God, Psalm 512, surrounds you like a shield. So she said, I really grabbed that one idea, and I began to see myself before people ever come into my slowness, my handicap. They had to come in contact with God's favor on my life. They did not let her play on the high school basketball team freshman year, sophomore year. But let me tell you something. They used to make fun of me, but she goes, every day I was getting stronger. I would say, the favor of God's on my life. I'm not going to stay slow. The favor of God's on my life. I'm going to play some hoops. The favor of God's on my life. I'm going to learn like the other kids. The favor of God is on my life. I'm not going to be somebody's diagnosis. Let me help you with something. If you let other people misdiagnose you, you'll mistreat you. They weren't there when he made you. He weren't there when he put you together. He wove you in your mama's womb. You may not like your parents. It makes no freaking difference. You're just what God wanted to make. You were just what he wanted to make. In fact, the reason he made you is so he could love you. Do you ever wonder why? What keeps God intrigued with you? What keeps God intrigued with you? There's something inside of every single person in this room that cannot be found in another. There's something different. There's something unusual. Our challenge is we study our similarity. It creates comfort, but we don't understand or dissect our difference that creates our rewards. Man, that's a good nugget. That's a tweetable moment. Jesus came upon this place, had great promise. But the promise only became substance when it was stirred. It only became power. The potential only became power when it was stirred. I believe there's grace that God wants to release in and through your life. But it doesn't happen if you're, just whatever. We'll see if the Lord is into it this week. I feel moody. It might be that time of my month, babe. Come on, somebody. I'm talking to you guys, too. Come on, don't act like you don't got a time. Don't act like you don't got no time. How's God going to release grace through your life? First, the dreamer. If the dreamer inside of you could talk, what would the dreamer say? You're born out of a dream, out of an imagination of God, made in the image of God. God created you to create. If you're not creating, you're malfunctioning. There's to be a reason why you worship, because God doesn't need your worship to feel good about himself. He knows that in his presence, you learn things that go beyond your intellect. Did you just catch that? Rewind. In his presence, you learn things that go beyond your intellect and you can hear. Bible says, David said, in his presence, I can see and hear. That's where your creation comes from. Whew. With the dreamer and you could talk, with the dreamer say, it's been hard watching you settle for less and less. Working a job other needs people assigned you, living out roles that other people place on you, watching disappointment choke the air and the wind out of your lungs. As a kid, you had such an imagination for who you could be, where you would go. You didn't give a rat's you-know-what about what everybody thought. You were going to be great just because. Notice as kids, all of our dreams gravitated toward greatness. No one dreamed about being divorced. I'd like to be 80 pounds overweight. Come on, somebody. I'd love to have cancer when I'm 12. Come on, somebody. No, all of our dreams gravitated toward greatness. The future is in the power of your dreams. It's the energy of progress. If you're not dreaming, watch what happens. Then you have the promise of great things, but nothing happens. God's activity in your life is limited to the size of your dreams. What's your dream? What can it do? Is it shelves somewhere? Is it dusty? Are you working your dream? Ecclesiastes 5:3 says, dreams come through much activity, much work, much engagement. Not just saying, God, do it. What you're asking God to do for you, he wants to do with you. He's looking for co-laborers. Hey, come on, somebody. Stevie Wonder, when he's a little boy, he goes, Mama, why am I cursed? Why? When he said, no, I'm cursed. And, Mama, why can't I see? She said, because we're cursed by God. True story. 7 years old. Oh, Mama, we ain't cursed. Come on, everyone do the Stevie Wonder so I don't feel like an idiot. And about half of you did. All the white people like, I ain't doing that. You're like, aren't you white, Rex? Not really. I'm like, more salmon. Peakish flavor. Smile. He was over at his buddy's Billy's house. Part of me wants to know how the blind kids gets to Billy's house. But anyways, it's Billy's garage or his barn. He's playing with Billy. True story. I love this, Matt. So he's playing with Billy, and he stumbles on a rock. He puts his hands out to try to latch on to hit to anything he can so he doesn't fall. And when he does, he hits an old broken piano, and the keys that are broken and sound went off. And he starts screaming, I can see, I can see, I can see. Billy got nervous and ran out. Stevie Wonder ran home. I got an imagination. I got a 5-year-old little girl that watches cartoons. Part of me would love to watch Stevie Wonder when he's blindness run home. You know, he's like running into stuff. Don't act like it. Come on. He runs home and goes, Mama, Mama, I ain't cursed no more. She says, what you talking about, Stevie? She says, Mama, Mama, I said, Billy's, and I stumbled, and I hit this thing, and then I saw all these people. Mama, I'm going to make sounds, and people are going to be happy. People are going to be happy. I'm going to make sounds. She says to him, she goes, Stevie, you can't see my hands. No, 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 Mama, I can't see your hands. I don't see with my outer eyes. I see with my inner eyes. Mommy, I'm going to make sounds. God is highly intrigued with what you see with your inner eyes. Why? Because sight's a function of your pupil and retina, but vision's a function of your heart. God gave you the gift of vision so you never have to live contained by what you currently see, because where you are is now all there is. Somebody's going to dream again. God's going to wake up a church that dreams with him. Come on, you got the best dreamer. Can I tell you the best miracle happened about being born again? Jesus said, unless a man be born again, he can't see. The greatest gift that God gave you is when the Spirit of God comes to you, you can begin to see the future he has inside of you. You weren't made for heaven. Why are you trying to get there so fast? You didn't fall from heaven. You fell from glory. Jesus' intention to put the glory of God back inside you so you can see it and reveal it. How am I going to do this in 14 minutes? Holy schmoly. What about the stagnant lover? If the lover inside you could talk, saying, I watched you put walls up because of low self-esteem. Cheap shots, words. They say words don't hurt you. That's a lie from the pit of hell. They hurt like hell. And if you don't believe so, you're lying. Come on, you're deceived. What walls have you been putting up between love? Maybe you're like most people. You've exchanged love for lust. Why? Because lust takes and love gives. You evaluate all your relationships with interactions by, what have you done for me lately? Ooh, yeah. Little props to Janet Jackson on a Sunday night. Come on, somebody. Love begins with you. Love begins with you. Love begins with you. Love begins with you and me. Love begins with me. Jesus said the greatness. They're ever going to know that you follow me, that you're my tribe, that you're my peeps, that you bear my name. It's not going to be your great gifting or your vague vocational. They want to see somebody that loves. But people have been so hurt, they hold on to hurt rather than release it. And as a result, favor and grace can't flow through their life because of the unforgiveness. They perpetuate it. They stew in it. The people that hurt you in your past cannot do so today unless you're still stuck there. You're living in the History Channel, and God's trying to get you into the Discovery Channel. Hey! Jesus said it's unforgiveness that allows the tormentors to keep you captive. You say, well, you don't know what I've been through. Yeah, I do. My wife was raped by a pastor. Let's talk real talk. I did all the fluff. Let's go right at it. Yeah, I know what it's like. My wife sat on a bed for 9 months fighting for sanity in her brain. After overcoming death, a pastor jumped on her and took away something that she kept. Every reason in the world to be bothered and irritated at people. But the Lord appeared to her one day after 9 months of living like a zombie. Maybe you feel like a zombie and life's doing something with you, crushing you in your head because of something vile somebody did to you. We don't excuse them, but there's power to win. Jesus appeared to her and said this, they touched your body, but they never touched the real you. Because you never gave them permission. Forgiveness is a choice, it's a process, it's a state. It's a decision, it's a process, it's a state. I don't got time to sit there. If I took you to South Africa, a woman that was there and was living in the ghetto, and Officer Vanderbrock and these white officers who were biggest before apartheid showed up at the house. And when they showed up at her house, they took her son out, a 16-year-old boy, and killed him for the color of his skin. They stood there and they partied around the dead body after they blew his brains away in front of the parents. They returned a year later and took the husband. The wife tried to go get help from the council in South Africa. She tried to go get help from I forget the name of the council. They would not listen to her because of the color of her skin. They said it didn't happen, blah, blah, blah. A year after her husband had been gone, she didn't know what happened, and they came and got her. They took her out to a lake, and there she sees her husband at a distance. He's bound by wood. They're putting gasoline all over him, and they light him on fire, calling him by the color of his skin, and they danced around him. His last words were, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Vanderbrock, he ended up confessing to this a couple years after. They tried him in a court. He became guilty, but in the way they have it, they situated the people that are the victims can be able to choose and talk about what kind of, you know, sentencing they believe that he needs. So the judge said, what do you want, ma'am? The woman stood up and she was shaking with her cane. She says, I need three things, judge. Number one, I want somebody to take me to where the remains of my husband are so I can give him a proper burial because he was an awesome and loving man and I want to honor him. Yeah, absolutely. Number two, she said, I want to look at this man and tell you, I forgive you because I don't have any gifts. I don't have any money. I don't have a lot, but I'm rich in love, and I don't want to let what you did to me steal the best part about me. I am a lover, and though that hurts me like hell, I'm not going to allow that to steal my ability to love.
If I don't love Judge, I don't live. If I don't love Judge, I don't live. And I want you to know that you are forgiven. Judge, this is the wishes of me and my husband. Can you have him come by court appointment? I would like him to become my son and him come 2 times a week to my house so I have somebody to love. I can't walk good. I can't move good. But one thing I know how to do, I know how to love. And I don't want that to be taken. Finally, they said, can somebody hand me, take me over there and hug and embrace him so he knows this isn't just simple BS words. He knows it's real. As he walked over there, he passed out. Vanderbrock passed out the officer. All across the room, these black individuals, the nature of God in them grabbed the hands of all these white people. And before there was so much dissension, but all of a sudden they began to sing, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Can I challenge you, church? Let's turn off the stupid Fox News, CNN, all the rest of that social media, governmental things that wants to divide us. Let's let love win. Let's let the love of God win. Let's let the love of God win. Let's contend for what Jesus cares for. Come on, slap the person next to you. Say, come on, be a lover. Come on, here we go. Watch. I'm going to scrap here a little bit. Watch. So Jesus comes upon. I got to go here. What about the believer in you? Has the believer become so blinded? Come on, somebody. Now you just become bossy. Watch. All transformation happens through change of belief. That's why the context of Scripture says, do not be conformed to the world. Be transformed by the changing and renewing of your mind. Jesus said, you become what you believe. Beliefs limit or liberate you. They create for you. They crush you. They separate Mozart from Manson. While your capability is constant, how much of it you use depends on what you believe. I sat there and I was walking in the middle of Hollywood one time. I had an actor with me. We were meeting. After I got done, we were just walking the streets over by Hollywood Boulevard. And you see a guy in a wheelchair and he's smoking a joint. I go, let's go see this dude and let's go say what's up. He goes, for real? We might get high. I go, that's all right. We'll just do it anyways. Perfect, but still being perfected. Come on, somebody. Don't act like you got issues too. You're still in church on Sunday. No, I ain't smoking no joint either. So I walked up to this dude and I go, hey, how you doing? My name's Rex. I go, what's your name? He goes, my name is Eddie the Pothead. Now, Kayla, I've met a lot of people in my day. I've spoke to a little over 30 million people in my life. No one's ever called themselves Eddie the Pothead. I've had some freaks, but I've never met Eddie the Pothead. And I go, do you like being Eddie the Pothead? He goes, well, that's who I am. I mean, I believe that ever since I was little. That's what my mom and people told me. I go, do you like it? He goes, I don't know anything other. See, it's not who you are that's holding you back. It's who you think you're not. Let's just do that tweetable moment real fast. I'm going to speak for myself so I can buy my CD afterwards. It's not who I am that holds me back. It's who I think I'm not. I go, what if there's a different side of you you haven't revealed yet just because you've never believed about it? He goes, what do you mean? I go, do you mind if I heal you? He goes, you got like magic powers? I go, yeah, something like that. What am I going to say? Brother, that is of the devil. That is witchcraft. He don't know. He's smoking a joint. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let me get my big Bible out. You know, it says in Leviticus. Hallelujah. Send me an offering, would you? Yeah, like that's going to work, Jack. It's just me and the guy with the joint. I go, what if we tried to believe for something to happen? He goes, you got magic powers? I go, I do. I'm connected to God. I got energy. Oh, my gosh, are you New Age? Oh, my gosh, I just feel it. Are you the law of attraction? I'm attracting so much from an impersonal universe. The trees are giving me. Oh, the law of attraction works. I just do it from a personal God that fulfills his word. Not from an impersonal universe where there's energies. And if there is energies, let me show you my energy. So I said to him, I go, I go, so he goes, what's going to happen? I go, I'm going to pray for you and you're going to get better. He goes, prayer? I go, yeah, I told you I got energies. And he goes, okay. And he goes, do I have to put out my joint? I go, no, just go ahead and keep it. My friend's like, he's new to Christianity. I led him to the Lord. He's like, dude, you're all right with that? You think God's going to be cool? Let's just give it a shot. Miracles are messy. So I said, Jesus, help this brother out. It wasn't a really good prayer. Jesus, let your power flow through him. Your super hit is natural now. He goes, what is this energy in my body? He starts shaking in his little seat, his little wheelchair. He goes, what is this? Hold my pizza. Hold my joint. Oh, hell no. You put down your own joint. He goes, what's this energy? I go, stand up. He stood up. He goes, what is this energy? I said, his name is Jesus. He says, he believes you're much more. He goes, starts crying. He goes, I don't feel his peace. I don't feel just high. I feel this energy and peace. He goes, I don't want to believe I'm Eddie the Potted anymore. Can I be anything I want to be? I go, you could believe and you could become a child of God. He goes, I want to become that. All of a sudden, Eddie goes, thanks a lot. Throws down his own joint. They have to tell him to put it down, go to rehab. Come on. Squash that sucker. He grabs his wheelchair. He just starts walking away. His fro was hanging. Come on, somebody. My friend goes, what in the you know what was that? I said, something happens powerful when you become a believer. Too many unbelieving believers. So watch, Jesus comes upon the dude. He's been there for 38 years. Some would say a long time. And he notices him. Powerful. I want to ask you, whose pain has God let you see? And it bothers you. If it bothers you and it draws the compassion out of you, Jesus has assigned you to heal it. Stop waiting for a pastor or somebody else to do something about it. If somebody's pain gets under your skin, you'll be rest assured God has empowered you to be a hero in the situation and make a difference, speak a word, be a blessing, lift somebody, carry somebody, fight for somebody. Come on. Jesus comes upon him and goes, notice he's been there. He says to him, do you want to get well? I love what Jesus did. This isn't a business night, but he says, notice that Jesus didn't talk to him about his needs. He talked to him about his wants. Jesus didn't talk to him about what was wrong with him. He talked about what his desires were. Whoo! God don't like talking about what's wrong. He knows the obvious, but he's trying to get you into another realm. Watch, people always buy their wants. They don't buy their needs, right, Patrick? Come on, people don't buy their needs. When you try to sell people their needs, it's not inspiring. People will pay. They'll jeopardize their money. They'll discount. They won't even pay their bills to buy what they want. He goes, what do you want? He says, do you really want to get well? Why? Because not everybody does. It could only seem impersonal. How do you know? I prayed for a girl in a wheelchair in Vancouver. I went to pray for her. She never stepped out of a wheelchair in 18 years. When I went to pray for her, it wasn't all fluid. She didn't get up and run around. It wasn't Christian TV. By the way, I've never been on. Don't worry. I've prayed for people on MTV, but I'm not on Christian TV. I got her up out of the wheelchair, and she's shaky and jerky. I said, you wanted to take some steps? She goes, yeah, I want to be healed. Her mom goes, pray for her mind and pray for her eyes. Your daughter's standing up for the first time 17-something years. Okay? Come on, take a step. No, pray for her eyes and her mind. I got her to take a couple steps. She didn't get her full healing that night. And then I was puzzled, and I went home, and I was like, man, I was really irritated. I was bothered. I went home. Great things happened, but I was bothered. And I asked the pastor what happened. He says her family gets a whole salary where they don't have to work. They drive a Mercedes because she's a cripple. She's brilliant in her mind, and if she becomes healed in her body, they lose everything, and they don't have to live lazy anymore. And they would rather be lazy believers rather than have to do something up. They would rather keep their girl in a chair. Not everybody does, because we like to be the victim. Oh my gosh, Christmas time, Thanksgiving. Someone, come on, everyone's got a family member. Come on, they show up with a story of why they haven't, why they can't, why they don't, why they can't lose the weight. Come on, somebody. And it's like the 18th year in a row. Same story. Come on. What story sabotages you? Ecclesiastes says oppression unravels a person's reasoning. What story stops you? I can't. Misery comes in cans. Miracles come in cans. I don't. I'm just not that kind of a person. I'm not. I'm not. I'm not this. I'm not. I'm just not this kind of a person. Jesus didn't pity the man. He gave him and confronted his condition with a revelation, not sympathy. Why? Because sympathy says, oh, that sucks to be you. Compassion fights for somebody. It gets dirty with somebody. Watch, watch, watch. I'm talking to you world shakers for a minute. All eyes on me, like Tupac said. Watch. Watch. Jesus said, rise, take up your bed, walk. Time to make a move. A moment hit, a shift, a break in what opposed him, so he could go through the break and have a breakthrough. Something happened. There was a shift, a moment. He said, rise up and walk. Notice nothing changed for the man. He had a choice to make. Would he rise up and make a move to do something drastic? He hadn't walked for 38 years. His muscles weren't strong. But he had to make a decision from within. Would he stand up? Would he do something no matter what he felt? Would he make a move? I end with a story. Penny Shepherd. A woman, Penny Shepherd, she's been on Joyce Meyer's program. She had 13 years of age, broke her back. It became so bad where her husband would have to carry her to bed every night. She couldn't stand, couldn't walk, so couldn't take care of her kids. She was so miserable. She finally said, I didn't even want to think these thoughts, but I was going to commit suicide because the pain was so bad in my body and in my life. She said, I cried out in desperation, God, I need a miracle. And she heard these words audibly twice. Run to your miracle, Penny. She says, run, I can't even walk or stand. Run to your miracle, Penny. I can't walk or stand. She calls her husband. I prayed. God told me to run to my miracle. He says, you can't walk or run. He goes, I don't need your ideas here. Can you take me to the doctors? I got to find a way to walk and to run. They went to the doctor. The doctor said the same thing. You can't walk or run. She says, I have to, because God said I got to run. See, you always get what you have to have. If you can tolerate a bad marriage, you'll have one. If you can tolerate a sexless marriage, you'll have one. If you can tolerate impurity, you'll have it. If you can tolerate being broke, you'll stay broke. If you can tolerate living off somebody else's faith, you'll stay there. You get what you've got to have. Watch what happens. She goes to doctors. She says, I don't need you to diagnose me again. I need you to make a decision that you'll help me run. They put her body in a machine that moved her for 4 days or for 4 months. Before that, the doctor said, well, what do you mean? You're going to run a block or run a couple of feet? What are you going to run? She said, I signed up to run a marathon before she left the house. 26 miles. 3 days before the marathon, her knee blew out in the machine. They said, you can't do it. She hobbled. She hobbled to the starting line. Her doctor there, her family, people in her church. Here's this woman, excruciating pain. The pain did not go away when she started to move. Sometimes you can lift your hands and sometimes the pain doesn't go away right away. Sometimes you can pray the prayer of faith and there's not an immediate reaction. Come on, somebody. Sometimes you can give and there's not immediate reaction. And the devil tries to tell you it's not working. He's a liar. See, he can't kill you. All he can do is steal from you. The gun goes off. She takes a step with a help. And when she did, all the pain left in her body, she started screaming, ah, I'm healed. And they said, look, you don't got to run. You don't got to run. She says, no, God didn't tell me to just stop when I got my miracle. He said to run through, run to my miracle. She ran like Forrest Gump. Come on, somebody. She ran. She ran. She ran. She ran. Watch. I end with this. Watch. I got to end with this. Watch. I got to end with this. They asked her in the interview, when did you get your miracle? Stay standing. Stay standing. Stay standing. Stay, stay standing. When did you get your miracle? She said, I didn't get it today. I made it in a moment of pain, in a moment of inspiration, in a moment of desperation. where I decided I was more than the pain in my body. The day I decided to run on what God said, that's the day where power met my potential. That's the day I got my miracle. You say, Rex, life's got me down on the outside. I'm getting my butt kicked right now. Be like the little boy in church. He was in the church, and every time the pastor spoke, he got up and goes, yeah, 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 preach it. His mama says, shut up, sit down. Right there, you know they're in black church. Come on, somebody. White church, they go. He kept getting up going, yeah, 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 preach it, bishop. Sit down, shut up. Finally, the little boy got mad, or the mama got mad, goes, if you get up again, I'm going to take away your Wii video games for a whole month. That little kid was ticked. He put his fans in his pits. And then all of a sudden, his mama goes, what, to egg him on in the church. That little boy goes, I might be sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing, I'm jumping, and I'm shouting on the inside, and you can do nothing about it. Give the Lord a clap and a shout. I'm done speaking. Come on, give the Lord a big clap in here. Come on, give the Lord a big shout. Hey, Carlsbad. Come on, shout. Shout. Real quick, and I'll pray for people. I'll stay here all night long, and I'll sit over here, and I'll pray for sick people. I love to do it, but I felt like I had to get this word out. Is that fair? I'll stand and pray for people. I honor time. I'm about 3 minutes over. It says six. I think it's lying. Plus, what are you going to go do? Watch the NFL. It sucks now anyways. Whatever. I stand for the flag. Okay, all eyes on me. Watch. Don't close your head. Don't bow your head. Don't close your eyes. Let's go raw. Let's go raw. I like people that got guts and they got grit. I like people that can own themselves. Come on, they got charge of themselves. You determine your fruit, nobody else. Someone that owns their life. You're the CEO. You ain't a peacemaker, you're a policymaker. Here we go. If you know you need Jesus and you really need him tonight, for the first time, you've never opened the door of your heart. Can I tell you something? You see all this energy and passion? It's not human emotion. Human emotion can take you so far, it'll fail you. But Jesus gives you the power to become God's kid. If you want forgiveness of your sins, if you want to really know God and experience God, you want God to live in you. You want him to live in you, not to be a part-time thing on the outside. You want him to live in you. Greatest decision, March 7, 1996, 8:44 p.m. Rex Crane lifted his hand, and everybody in the crowd knew who I was at that time because I was a baseball player and I was known in the city. But I knew something that night, that something had to be different. But for things to be different, I had to become different. I had to be accessible. And I said, Jesus, take this. Take me. Do something with me. Little did I know it would be a journey far beyond my capabilities and capacities. But he gave me, I gave him an opportunity to change things. He'll do it for you too. He don't pick favorites. Here's the deal. If you want God, just lift your hand up. Have guts. Lift your hand up. Don't be ashamed. If you got it, hold your hand up. That's all right. Mad props. Mad props. Mad props. Mad props. Mad freaking props. Mad props. If you're sick in your body, put your hand on your body right now. I'm going to pray and something's going to happen. Something's going to happen. I've done it in the locker rooms of the NFL, done it in MMA, done it all over the world, done it at the White House, done it everywhere else. Jesus is a healer. He wasn't a healer. He not will be in heaven. You don't need healing in heaven. Jesus is a healer, and his body was broken, as the man of God said earlier, so yours could be mended. People are going to be healed of TMJ. People that have cancers and growths in their body are going to get better. People that have problems with cataract in your right eye, you're right at your left eye, you're going to be better. Heart problems. People that have heart problems and your heart skips and it's irregular, people are going to get better. If you need physical healing in your body, let's go after it right now. We're not going to beg. We're going to thank him. Is that fair? Okay, 10 seconds. You ready? And then we're going to worship. Ready? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Father, I thank you. in the name of Jesus right now. That Lord, the people that said they need you, that come in, you saw their hands. They stood for you. I thank you for forgiveness through the power of your blood. And I thank you that your body was broken, that ours could be healed. Therefore, in your name, we command sickness, infirmity, diseases, afflictions, and demon spirits to loose people and let them go. Father, I pray the anointing would break yokes of addiction, yokes of perversion. I pray yokes, I pray of infirmity, sickness, cancer, diabetes would be healed, lungs would be open, asthma would be reversed, psychological disorders tonight would be supernaturally reversed. I pray in the power of your name. Let your healing anointing right now, Father, be released. And I pray that God, that every person that's under the sound of my voice, the dreamer would arise, the lover would arise, the leader inside of them would arise, and the believer would arise. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Yours is the glory forever and ever. Somebody give the Lord a clap and a praise.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.